everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Here we are. It's December 2nd, 2014. Do you believe it's December? I do, because I was walking out in it just a moment ago, and it is freezing. Well, not quite freezing. It's that kind of cold, wet weather that sometimes feels colder than what it says on the thermometer because it's wet. But I'm not complaining. I am feeling really good, and I want to tell you why. I read recently, actually, I've read a number of studies that talk about when we express our gratitude, we feel better. So I thought I would try it, and I started thinking about the things I would list on this show. I thought, I'll list three things I'm thankful for. And as I started to think about the things I was thankful for, I just started to feel so good. Try it. All right, let me tell you what I'm thankful for. Number one, I found my Metro card. Okay, what big deal is that? If anybody knows, in New York City, we have, instead of the old-fashioned subway tokens, we have this credit card size card, and it's connected to our credit card, and we just swipe it through every time we take the subway, and it automatically refills itself. It's very convenient. It's lovely until you can't find it. And it happened once before, and unfortunately, I had really lost it. And someone else had picked it up and started using it. So this time, as soon as I realized it was gone, I kept checking my activity online. And fortunately, I knew nobody had picked it up and was using it, and I had a feeling it was still in my home. And yesterday, I found it, and today, I got to use it. And there was a bonus, actually, because when I went to look for it, I started to clean up little things. There was a box of things I just kept putting in my closet, and I finally got a chance to organize that. So that was actually a benefit. And sure enough, my Metro card was in the last place I looked for it. But that's always the way it goes, isn't it? Anyway, that made me feel really good because I was very nervous about not having that lovely little card. Okay, what else am I thankful for? Well, there's a new business online, and it's called Thrive Market. And you can get to it by going to thrivemarket.com. And it's one of these businesses where you can order food online, dry goods, beans and grains and other things. And they're just getting started, and they have a really, I think they have a very socially conscious, positive mission. And I recently joined, and I had made a big order that I was planning to use for my Thanksgiving dinner. And it was supposed to arrive the day before Thanksgiving. And guess what? I'm reading online, following the FedEx tracking, and it was damaged in shipment. And I'm totally in a panic, and I had to go out at the last minute and buy all this stuff because I was planning to make a big Thanksgiving dinner. And then I contacted them on Friday because I still hadn't received it. And I wrote and explained what happened. And they wrote back. And at first they said, you know, they're very sorry. This has never happened. Out of the 900 boxes that they've shipped, because they're new, that this had never happened. And they'd give me 20% off on my next purchase. And I don't know, I wasn't feeling too good, but this morning they told me they totally refunded my order. They're sending me the order anyway, and I'm thinking, this is good customer service. This is something I love. And so now I'm very happy with them, although I still haven't gotten my order yet. But if you want, you can check them out, thrivemarket.com. You get free shipping on all orders over $49, and you get a free 1 month membership. And I think I'm liking them. I just want to say I'm not getting anything from promoting them. I'm just telling you a story. And then the third thing that I'm grateful for today is that I'm alive. And, you know, we forget sometimes, don't we? And as my guests know who just showed up in the studio, and I'll introduce them in a moment, you know, that wasn't really a guarantee for a while. And so what I'm thankful for being alive is that I had a number of good things. I was surrounded by love, and I had good doctors and green juice. And I think that's my recipe. There's a lot more that I'm thankful for. In fact, as I started thinking about this little list of only doing three, all of a sudden it started to tumble with all kinds of other things that I'm thankful for. But maybe I'll save them for next week. Anyway, it feels good, doesn't it, to think about what you're thankful for? So maybe you might try that. All right. So the last thing I'm thankful for, well, not the last thing, but the latest thing I'm thankful for is my guests are here in the studio, and they are the two of the most loveliest people. And how lucky am I to just look at them right now? I wish you could, too. But you're only going to be able to hear them. And I have Joy Pearson and Bart Potenza, the owners of the Healthy Candles, Candle Cafe, Candle 79, Candle West, and also the Candle Foods that we can find in Whole Foods, and we'll hear more about that. And cookbooks. We've got a cookbook to talk about, so let's get started. Hello, and love, and get closer to the mic.
How many hours do we have, did you say, Carmen?
Yeah, we've got about an hour, so let's see how it goes. So you're looking good.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, thank you.
A lot to be grateful for.
So much to
be grateful
for.
Health and wealth, yeah. The vegan mission, stronger than ever.
Right. So let's just jump in. Happy 30th anniversary.
Overall, yeah, right.
Wow. You started 30 years?
Yep.
30 years ago.
Right.
Okay, so I know a lot of people listening know about you, but there are also a lot who don't, either from other countries or other states or people from New York that
right.
haven't had the opportunity to be in one of your precious food sanctuaries.
Mm-hmm.
So just let's tell me briefly about yourself so we get up to date.
Well, Joy, Amy, like, how can we titillate them right now with all kinds of our own experiences, of course, always over and over again. And we, even though we've done it for 30 years, we just finished with another meeting, which it feels like day one most days. But that's what keeps it fresh and exciting. And the food is extraordinary, better than ever. You know, the connections we made in the early days with the organic farmers and the people that work in our restaurants, it's a very cohesive thing. And if it's... it's quite a performance on a daily basis involving this quality of level
of food. You put on a show every day.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, you know about that kind
yep.
of thing.
Mm-hmm. She's the performer. Well, my experience is I was a customer of Bart's. I think you know the story, but I'll tell your viewers the story is that, or listeners, that I was a customer. I'm a nutritionist by training. I had a private practice, and I would go in for lunch every day, and it made me feel so good. I really didn't understand what veganism was all about, but when I felt it in my own body and my mental clarity improved, my hair got shinier, my eyes were brighter, my skin was clearer, my weight went down, and things just generally improved. Really improved. And it was like, this food is better tasting for me. It was like I went in and I just was like blown away by the flavors because it was fresh from the farm. They were picking within 24 hours of serving. The nutrient density was there. The freshness factor was there. And it really, it revolutionized my own body.
Oh.
So for me, it was like, how do I share that?
This is a body revolution.
It was.
Yes.
My
echo body.
Body.
It's an echo body.
I like that. All right. Now, most of the vegan restaurants I've been in, I can't say all, but a lot of them, the owners are very passionate because there's more to vegan food than just the food. It's all-encompassing, all life on earth. It's an incredible passion. But there is something very unique about the candles. And I don't know how you do it, but there's this intimacy, there's this feeling of you're at home, and you are both have been very present, and how, you know, running a restaurant is so hard, and I don't know how you stay so calm. What? Or you see, or maybe you really
are. Sure,
are,
this is only audio and not visual.
Or maybe you really are excellent actors. I don't know, but it's just such a complete beautiful experience.
Thank
it's
you.
Not just food.
Thank you.
It's not just food.
No.
And it's energetic from the dishwasher to the managers. I mean, everybody is an integral part of the energetics of coming into the candles. I know people who said they've come in and I've been in there in a day and I was like, did somebody just hug me but nobody touched me? But you feel embraced by the energy of the candles. It has this miracle sort of.
You mentioned hugging and I said, I don't think there are more hugs anywhere than in your restaurant. Oh, really?
Thank you, yeah.
And I don't know how you do it, but it's a beautiful thing.
We don't know how we do it either, but we know that it takes more than just us. It takes a village, and it takes a divine intervention. Listen, you know, we won the New York State Lottery.
Right.
We needed the money for the restaurants, and Pravin has provided. Bart actually paid the tickets, so he's another part of
1993,
of my
Providence. Play Joy's birthday and my birthday in the Take 5 game. And we won $53,000 in the lottery. Did you ever know that, Karen?
I did know that. And
unfortunately,
that
there were six other people who won the same night. Otherwise, we would have won $300,000.
Okay.
But it was the seed money for Candle Cafe.
And that was a lot more money than it is today.
Right.
$53,000.
It really wasn't a lot of money then either. We needed to go out and borrow more. Mm-hmm. And but it gave us, I think, the clarity and the push to really say this is meant to be. Because it's scary to start a new venture like that and to invest our time and our money and our everything.
All right. So restaurants, you started in 94 with Candle Cafe.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so it's 20 years of restauranting.
Right.
And that's a long time in this business.
Yeah.
And people still love your restaurants. And not only are they there, but they're getting better.
Hmm.
How do you do that? Answering these questions. No. How is it you have the love?
A lot of things are happening.
You getting better?
A lot of things that are happening that were, as an industry, if we have to call it that, vegan, organic, were not available 10 years ago, even, or 20, meaning the variety of things we work with, the kinds of herbs and spices. And what we say a lot, and happily we get a lot of press coverage about what we've done, especially with the new book, but it's not about bragging, Karen. People want it. I was thinking the other day, we have the most incredible client base, huggy, feely or not, but we shaker and mover on the planet
that you can think of,
from Colin Campbell to Micho Kushi to Paul McCartney, has walked through our doors and been fed and come back again and again and again. We're literally feeding a fourth generation now. But the part you read, the mechanics of running them on a day-to-day basis is very challenging. I mean, we have happily good teams, and we're constantly keeping it fresh and alive for them and for ourselves and for the clients, of course.
And do you realize that 90% of our customers are carnivores? I think that is incredible to think about.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they say if we could eat here every day, we would be vegan?
It's a very, very common thing to say.
Move into my building.
What changes that more than anything else but a seitan chimichurri?
Oh, my God, my favorite.
That's for you.
Okay, I say this often on the show, but I'm waiting for the day when technology allows us to smell and taste through the airwaves.
Getting there.
And I know it'll happen, but meanwhile,
movie theaters are doing that now.
Oh my goodness. So there's this, I've got this delicious
fragrance. That's one of our signature
here.
Items.
It has this charcoal, lovely
marinade and
fragrance. Tell me what it is while I chew into it.
It's a citrus cilantro marinated seitan skewer. And then it's put on the grill. And it's served at Candle Cafe West, which is our newest restaurant on 2427 Broadway. It's served with a jalapeno aioli. I know you're doing the happy food dance. Mm-hmm. Nobody can see it, but that is my favorite dance.
I'm opening the jalapeno aioli.
Oh,
right.
Oh, my goodness. Karen's happy. You know, it's got a lovely texture. It's chewy. It's juicy.
It's juicy.
It is.
Mm. And I'm using my fingers.
It absorbs all the flavors, and it's fantastic.
Okay. This is delicious.
And then I bought you the beet salad with an almond cheese. And I know if you notice, Karen, but the cover of the book, and actually it's stuck to the top of the container, the cover of the book has cheeses on it for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because really to make it, I think they look beautiful.
They do.
It's peppers. Yeah, it's red peppercorns rolled in red peppercorns. You can roll it in anything, in fresh herbs, and it really is quite lovely and really makes some beautiful plate. We also show it there with some beautiful fresh figs and some champagne grapes.
Okay, I want to say about this almond cheese. Now maybe this is similar or different. But the almond cream that's on your roasted butternut squash soup. I made that recipe for Thanksgiving, and the almond cream cheese. The almond cream on top? Oh, is just amazing!
Amazing.
And everybody went nuts.
Try that.
Over the soup. It was stunning to look at.
Well, that's the main reason Joy did the cookbook, by the way, with Jorge Piñata and Angel Ramos, our two head chefs, because she wanted people to be able to take this experience of holiday cooking into their home and share with their friends and loved ones and family. It was amazing.
This is the almond cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes. Okay. Beets.
The variety is there, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Beets. And I didn't even give you the salad dressing. Is a Kalamata olive salad dressing vinaigrette.
Oh, my God. Listen to the crunch.
All right.
That's string beans.
This is a living commercial, by the way. This is what.
Okay, well, the point is of all of this, the cookbook, I'm just dipping my finger in the
dressing.
Please.
All righty.
Okay, I'm tasting oil and vinegar, mm-hmm. and then some herbs are in there. What's in there? It's good.
Delicious. Kalamata olives. And
oh, the olive. That gives it that color.
A nice kick and a nice dark, rich color. Food is so fragrant, right? So fragrant and so it stimulates every sense.
Okay, so the cookbook. I've said this too a few times on this program. I'm not talking as often about cookbooks anymore because I've got cookbook fatigue, and I'm so glad that there are many vegan cookbooks out there.
Yep.
I'm thrilled about it. And many of them are how to eat vegan, and they're very simple and they're clean foods, and it's wonderful that they're out there, but I'm kind of bored. And when I see a beautiful cookbook come out where it's stunning to look at and stunning to read, I'm very excited, and that's what this vegan holiday cooking is really all about. So let's just mention briefly your chefs, Angel and Jorge.
They are incredibly talented. I call them alchemists in the kitchen.
They've been with you since the beginning.
Bart and I for 15 years, I believe.
Oh, thanks.
So it's more than family.
Right.
And their cuisine, as you said, Karen, before, it gets better and better. And this book is really our way of sharing with everybody these beautiful, like you said, beautiful but very unusual recipes because they're actually festive. You know, and even people who don't really drink, in the book is also a whole section on alcohol and mm-hmm. and sustainable liquors. And we have one alcohol beverage, Vive, that plants a tree every time we sell a drink. So we've planted at Candle 79 over 9,000 trees in the Indian rainforest.
A tree got planted.
So I didn't realize
incredible.
That. We must drink more.
I know.
Drinking with a mission.
Saving the forest or creating alcoholics. I don't know which.
Well, but we need to celebrate. There's much
That's
to
the
celebrate.
Key.
Of course.
And if you can't make it to Candle, or even if you can, there's something about making dinners at home that I find really special. I don't know the statistics, but I don't think people are doing it as much as they used to. And there's something really lovely about it. We made Thanksgiving dinner at home. And there's something about infusing that love in the food that you just don't get it. Now, you get it at your candle restaurants. But when you make something at home and when your guests realize what effort went in, because people take food so for granted.
They do.
It's such a momentary, buy it fast. Slug it down. They don't even realize somebody had to grow it, and harvest it, and package it, and ship it many, many times, and then buy it, and then prepare it, and then 2 seconds, it's gone.
Quite a journey, right, for a vegan meal.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, for all food, unfortunately. Yeah.
And this really, what you're saying, I think it is a lost art. I think coming to the dining room table together is a lost art. And it's a very important art and a very important part of the fiber of our beings. Like, we get to share. And I think also bringing everybody into the kitchen. I remember being in the kitchen with my mother and grandmother over Thanksgiving. I remember making the whipped cream for the pumpkin pie. I remember all those things. And those are memories I want others to be able to have, and I believe with this book they can have them and be eating plant-based at the same time.
You know,
time.
They're not hard. They take time. They take some thought.
Yeah.
But, you know, anytime we invest in something, we get something back. So
Bravo.
We have to put the time in to get something back. And I think it's worth it. All right.
I think it's worth it.
Yay!
We think it's worth it.
We think it's worth
for
it.
For everybody.
I was talking to Vasanta Molina last week on this program. She and Brenda Davis, these wonderful dietitians, have new or revised books, Becoming Vegan Express and Becoming Vegan Comprehensive. And these are, like, great references that I'm, like, looking at every day for information. They're incredible. But one of the things I asked Vasanta, who's also been doing this for 30 years, is what has changed So we talked about what has changed in the nutritional world, and we're constantly learning. And things that we thought were healthy 30 years ago, like wheat germ or something, is not as healthy as we thought it is. And we've learned so many more foods are healthy today. So in the 30 years of restaurateurism, I'm sure things have changed, too, with what you've learned about the food.
Well, we're all privy to this whole gluten-free thing that's gone on now, too, of course. So all three of our restaurants have very extensive gluten-free menus.
What we need is a gluten-free seitan, and somebody will come up with it.
No doubt about it.
We get totally acknowledged for that. But that, again, wasn't a difficult decision for Joy and myself to make. I mean, we're privy to what I'll have to call the trends or what's going on. And I don't think a day goes by in the press you don't read or hear something about nutrition, a new way of looking at something.
Right.
One day coffee's okay, the next day it's not okay. Red wine, being Italian, I make sure I still have some of that in my diet, you know.
It's maybe that's your secret.
Yeah, but you know, another thing we shared through the years, we may have used this with you before, but you know, it's harder to change people's food habits than their religion or politics. That's how inbred food habits, culture, whatever nationality you might come from and so on. I mean, being a classic Italian American, I'd still like my pasta, vegan version, of course, and a fine red wine is my go-to meal, you know, when I think of a kind of celebration.
Okay.
But getting people to rethink how they are around food is what you mentioned a bit before.
Now, you make a lot of things from local fresh foods, but I'm sure there are some products that you use that are made already. I don't know.
Tofu
or the vegan cheeses, maybe a vegan butter or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's changed over the years.
You're right about that.
Variety, of course. You know, more options. Yeah.
And that's changed what's on your menu to some degree.
Yeah, you're totally right. I think that the products coming out, that there are more savvy to the needs of the vegan diet or a plant-based diet, like the butters and the cheeses. The cheeses we've watched evolve over the years, right? We've watched them not melt and melt.
And apropos of that, we have our own frozen food line out there in the world.
Oh, there we go. Now, the last time you were here, you were just
introducing
them.
Wow, it's in year three now.
Yeah, that's right. It was 2011. So what's going on with
that? Come on, Joy. Take that one, kid.
What have we... You started with three items. A seitan.
It's four. It's a seitan piccata, a ravioli and a red sauce, which is delicious. And it's a ginger miso stir fry. And it's a mac and cheese. So all those comfort foods and just easy, accessible, and at the market. And also, they donate money. We donate money to HSUS and Farm Sanctuary, which is on the box.
They get
part of the proceeds that come in.
So that's very exciting because that keeps the whole family together, right?
Yeah.
And as of January, the line's going to be expanded too.
Yes, bagged ravioli.
Oh.
That you can make your own sauce. Their
very
own cashew
nice.
Creams or whatever, and it's really beautiful, tasty, and what a nice thing to be able to share with people and have in your freezer. Our grandbabies love them.
Right.
They're my test market. They actually requested it last time they came over.
Well, the Italian in you must love that.
I guess so, anything ends in an I-E or an O, they want it.
Well, but that's, I mean, I remember, I grew up on Long Island, we were near Deer Park, and there was a lot of Italian food manufacturers there. They made ravioli and cannoli and all these things, and we would buy the ravioli, and you can't do that because it's got cheese in it.
Right.
So,
right. And even we have a cannoli even too, you know that. A vegan cannoli.
Do you know the movie Chef? Have you seen it?
Yeah, we saw it. Yeah.
Okay. So, of course, it's not a vegan movie, and there's a lot of stuff in there with food that I don't want to talk about. But what I do want to talk about is the passion around food. And specifically, this chef guy, Jon Favreau.
Right.
There was a scene with Scarlett Johansson where they're in his apartment, and he's making food. So this is a guy who makes all of this complicated, intense stuff, but when he comes home and he wants to do something seductive and sensual, he whips together this little pasta dish, and you watch it, and it's just incredible. And I was wondering, you're always surrounded by this amazing food. What do you do when you're at home?
I love to cook when we're home. And I love to do stuff like that. I love to whip Bart up a pasta dish or any spaghetti or rigatoni or any type of pasta. And I love to eat clean, simple foods. I love it.
Yeah.
And I love to flavor things. I love to get all international flavors. Like, if we felt like I had butternut squash the other day, I was testing a recipe for a chef. And so I had extra, so I took the squash and I just pureed it. And then I added a can of coconut milk, organic coconut milk. And it was just so delectable and rich and delicious.
Now, one of the secrets to delicious food is the source where you get the food from. And most of your food is organic.
Yes.
And I was reading in your acknowledgments the list of people you were thanking, and that list is long. And one name popped down, and that's Josh Steinhauser. I wanted to talk about him a little bit. So he's just a really intense, passionate guy.
He should be sitting here with us today.
He should be.
He's like 2,000% energy, green juice infused nut about healthy food. And I met him in the mid-90s. I was flying back from Florida. And I was on an aisle seat, and he was on the opposite aisle seat. Incredible
synchronicity.
And the flight attendant walked by, and I had ordered a vegan meal, and he hadn't. And he said, "Do you have any extras?" And, of course, she said no. And I'm looking, there's a vegan next to me. It's the mid-90s. I mean, that doesn't happen.
No.
So I said, "You could have mine. I don't need it." And then we just nonstop conversation the rest of the way back. And I couldn't believe I met this guy. And I've been to his North Hollywood
farmer's
market many times with the highest piles of leafy greens. For me, that's
heaven on earth.
Orgasmic.
Me too.
Take it easy, ladies. This is a family show.
Oh, really, when I see those mountains of fresh green. And he's one of your providers.
Supplier. But from the longest time. I've got so many beautiful stories about Josh. When we first went into business, Josh would be out in the truck bringing us the produce, and I would be in the store. And oh God,
I mean, people don't realize
5 a.m. in the morning,
5 a.m. and he would be eating spirulina by the handful so we could stay up, and we were making green juices and asking him if I could do anything. But he was really incredible. The energy that Josh has and the energy that he gave us and he gives to us every week. We still work with Josh every week. Chef speaks to Josh.
Yeah. Right. Even now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a long term. He's like my brother. I mean, the whole thing about how he grows and what he cares about and his integrity and honesty and impeccability and...
So that love that's in your food starts long before it arrives in your restaurant.
Right. It does. Like
We feel it, and I guess we share it. We share
and
it,
I know he donates a lot of the food
charities. And
he did the Coalition for Healthy School Foods benefit this year. He did the centerpieces, which were three kinds of cauliflower, purple, yellow, and white.
Yeah.
And they were really beautiful. Like, he really does. And when I go into school and I need, like, apples or something to give the kids for snack, Josh will always donate.
Okay, so that's a good segue. Let's talk about the New York Coalition for Healthy School Food and what's going on in schools today.
You know, you talked about a lot of differences and changes. You know, we have our first vegetarian school in Queens.
I know, in my neighborhood.
244.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know about it.
And you know that their education is better, their grades are better, their attendance is better, and things are better, you know, like, so that makes a big difference. And we're actually developing recipes for the DOE or working with them and getting in plant-based recipes into schools. They have a plant-based alternative menu, which is vegetarian, actually, alternative menu.
Okay, good beginning.
It's very good. For
sure.
So do you know how many schools in New York are doing this or thinking about it?
Not as many as there should be, Karen.
Yeah, hello.
But we're really trying to talk to principals because principals have to be on board in order to bring it into their school.
Now, I remember talking to you 3 years ago about this, and you said part of the problem is you can educate the kids, but the parents need education, too. They go home and... You know, if the parents don't know anything, what are they going to do?
That's true. And you know what we do? Since that time, we've developed a program called Family Dinner Night and bringing the families in with the students. And what's happening is the parents are getting more of an education. I had a parent jump up on the table the other day. more than the other day. I'm sure it was a few months ago. Jump up on the table, turn her body around, told me that she lost like 15 pounds. Her cholesterol was lower. Her diabetes was gone. Her asthma was gone. And I mean, she listed about 12 other ailments that had disappeared. So it's really, and that was just as a byproduct of us working with their child in a school system. So yes. And when the parent gets on board, I had another student who said to me, can I take the tofu? I want to make it for my mom tomorrow morning for breakfast. And I was like, go for it. And I gave them a recipe. And they feeling kids feel empowered to teach their parents about this. We've got a lot of kids bringing their parents into the restaurant.
I'm having another bite of seitan. While
we go to cannibal commercial, you can eat.
Well, I'm thinking,
she can't speak.
This woman jumps up on the table, and she tells about how her health has improved on so many levels, right. And it's eating delicious food.
That's exactly right.
How long is it going to take to
get it? I know. Well, I lightly, being sort of the good boy, bad boy in this whole industry, I often say, when people eat badly, and we know a lot do, they don't fall down dead on the spot, you know. It takes 5, 10, 20 years for the diseases to develop. So I think that's one of the things that makes it hard for people to give up what we'll have to call their bad habits. I didn't become a vegan until I was in my 50s. Mm-hmm. I'm 77 years old now.
Ooh, like, and the he's looking boy. Good, by the way.
Take it easy, girlfriend. Where do you want to put the $10 down?
Well, but I like how a lot of older men who are turning vegan are really looking hot, like Clinton.
Yeah.
Okay, he's close vegan, but, you know, I don't want to split hairs here, but he's looking good.
He is, yeah.
Trim so down. That's what's wonderful. It doesn't matter what you used to do before. Your body can turn around.
Yeah.
So and fast. Quickly, we see it all the time in the restaurant, you know, with Esselstyn's patients or some like Collins patients, too, that they avoid going for heart surgery because they change their diet.
Exactly. We had the Avatar man and James Cameron.
Oh,
he was so
yes.
moved by what he saw and experienced. He invited 41 people back for dinner the next night.
So yeah, he's been doing
I hope we're in his next movie.
Yeah, I know a number of people are working on him to do more because he can.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there are some that believe that a few key individuals who have the means could really be making a big difference, and he's one of them.
He's so passionate about it. And really, I think we said this before, but, you know, to decrease your carbon footprint by 25%, and when I said that to Mr. Cameron, he said more than that. You know, it's really more than that, that we have the ability by changing what we do with our forks every day to decrease our impact on global warming. It's quite extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
I mean, we can do it. And Cowspiracy, did you see that?
Not yet. I've talked to the producers, but I haven't, the director of producers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it yet, but I will. There's only so many things we can all do.
Well, a good part of our mission involves the green movement, too, and the animal rights movement, so environmental movement. We're one of the first restaurants to do composting, one of the first restaurants to do recycling.
They compost! Did you hear that?
Yep.
And Bart was the first one, and not only that, but he was so generous of heart. He went and met with other restaurants, Mario Batali's restaurant, and taught them how to do it, too, so that they're more environmental, and they're also part of the Green Restaurant Association. Kudos to you, Mr. Bart Potenza.
The Bart man.
Bart man's changing the world.
We need to get you a little cape and have you run around and save by Bartman.
Well, I must say, this Halloween, I was Obi-Wan Kenobi. I will take that one
his
with
grandson.
My magic sword.
And
may the vegan force be with you.
And who are you?
I was not a Star Wars character.
You weren't Princess Leia? I could see you rocking those.
His granddaughter is Leia, her real name.
And named after Princess Leia, our granddaughter.
Okay, I printed out a bunch of articles, and I can't find the one that I was looking for, but it was just in the New York Times about children that were fed fruits and vegetables that were in an area, like a food desert or something, and that just tremendous improvement in their health and well-being. Oh. It was just in the New York Times, and I can't find it.
I should know that story.
Oh,
she
gosh.
Pretty
oh,
much
well.
Check that out every day.
But that is true. Like, we do a lot of work in food deserts. We did a lot of work in Harlem when we first started the coalition at the Fly School. And really, like, we said it before, the miracles are incredible when these kids change their diet. And they're such advocates for it once they do it.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the cookbook.
Okay.
Yay.
Yay.
What we're talking about, by the way, is definitely an investment in good health, because fundamentally, all the high medical costs we hear about, the diabetes, the obesity is really pulling down our society, literally and figuratively, in major ways.
We are talking about a celebration of life.
Thank you.
And why shouldn't we all be happy and celebrating all the time? We can do it here. We can solve all the world's problems, period.
And
be happy doing it.
Right.
You know, that's all I'm doing. I'm a messenger of celebrating with plant foods.
Bravo.
And Bart and Joy are making the access possible here in New York City and everywhere now that you can buy the stuff in the freezer. Right?
Yep.
Okay. And now you can get cookbooks and make it yourself.
Right.
Because you should find your kitchen and see what magic
you can
create.
Joy says find your inner chef as well.
Find the inner chef, and once you find your kitchen.
And then bring your friends and family.
Okay,
so make it fun. Make it a celebration everywhere, Karen. That is the lesson, isn't it?
The book starts with a lovely little quote from Jean Bauer, who we love, Farm Sanctuary, calling your book stunning. And then we have some lovely forewords by Alicia Silverstone. And I don't know how many times she says the word love in here, but I know what she's talking about. And Woody Harrelson and Laura Harrelson.
Yeah.
Just dropping a few names, but these have been regulars in your restaurants for such a long
time. They spread the word, which I like about that.
They live the mission, and they've taught us a lot.
Yeah.
And as it says in the book, we got to really be able to create with them and to share beautiful meals together.
So what I want to do is, the way I'm going to use this book, and I've already started, so when every one of these holidays comes around, I want to make at least one recipe in the book. So I started with Thanksgiving, because we just had Thanksgiving, and I made this roasted butternut squash soup with the almond cream and the spiced pumpkin seeds. And it's lovely. It has a little apple in it that just smooths with the butternut squash, and just a lovely number of flavors that just go so well together. So Thanksgiving, and not hard.
So excited you had us at your table. Like, that warms my heart as much as the soup.
Yeah,
would.
If we have time, I'll read my Thanksgiving menu later. But
good.
we love that. And so just going through this, we start with the Super Bowl, which is the beginning of the year, right? I don't watch football, but it is football, right? The Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put big games.
Super Bowl of soup.
And so the recipe I want to point out is the roasted poblano guacamole. Now, I love guacamole, and there are some people that have tried to make a healthier version, like with peas, to make it less fattening. Okay, that's fine. But why not add roasted poblano pepper to it? That's just making it even better.
What a deep, rich flavor.
Yes.
And that with the avocado.
Oh, so good. And, you know, fat is important, folks.
Right.
Fat shouldn't have a bad name. Fat needs to come from whole plant foods like avocado and raw nuts and seeds, and we need them so that we can absorb those fat-soluble nutrients, right, Joy?
Yes. It's imperative. Fat covers every cell, and it's imperative for the health of our bodies.
There was a study just came out about vitamin D, how they gave it to two different groups of people, and one group had more fat than the other or something like that, and the ones who had the fat while taking the vitamin D absorbed like 25 or 35% more vitamin D. I'm not making up the numbers. I just don't remember them exactly, but it was significant, and fat's good. So enjoy your fat and take it with your vitamin D.
Plant-based.
Wheat ball heroes. Come on.
Come on. Yay. Is that fun?
And the ice cream sandwiches. I mean, you're feeding the inner child in all of us.
Yes. And you can actually make this. Sometimes I like to make these with chocolate chip cookies. You just put chocolate chips in here.
Why
not?
Then
use your own inner
we
chef.
We can have it all, everybody.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, then I want to jump.
You think we get excited about
food? Yeah. Get so excited.
I do, too.
And, I just want to mention, Gary was going to come here, my partner Gary, but he didn't come. He's busy. But he wanted me to tell you that he loves this cookbook. I just had to remember to say that.
All right, thanks,
and,
Gary.
I mean, he loves reading cookbooks more than I do, and he's got a handful of them that he just treasures and pulls out every now and then with a cup of tea and just reads them.
So sweet.
And this is new on his
I was
favorite.
Hoping you'd be able to serenade us today.
Yeah. Oh, well, who knows?
We might do an audio version of the cookbook. You know, Gary do the narration.
That's right.
What
well,
a good idea.
Maybe we'll talk about the Swing Gourmets if we have a moment.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And give you an update on that. Okay, so we were talking about the movie Chef.
Right.
And there was a mention about how they were insulting their molten chocolate cake in the movie. I don't know if you remember it, but you have a different version of a molten chocolate cake, and I don't think you can go wrong with this one.
Thank you. It looks great.
It's just, I want to lick the page.
I know, me too.
That's the next book.
Oh, there's an idea.
We used to
scratch and sniff. And that leads right into the Passover Seder. Now, I was raised Jewish. I'm a atheist-leaning agnostic. That's
all
how
right.
I like to describe myself. But I love traditions. I love holidays. I love traditional foods. And I love veganizing all traditional
foods. I do too, Karen.
And here we go with the Passover Seder. And you have everything. The charoset, the chopped liver, the gefilte tofu, and what we really have been going nuts about that we want to make is the brisket.
Oh, it is so good. It's my grandmother's brisket recipe, and it is really delicious. And look how gorgeous this photograph
is. It is stunning.
Is.
And we haven't made it yet, but it will be happening soon.
You will absolutely
Shay us.
Love it. It's with roasted carrots and shallots and turnips, and it's like seared. You take the seitan and you sear it. It's like amazing. And it is literally my grandmother's recipe, that Angel veganized.
Yeah.
Right. And that, by the way, is a good clue. A lot of these foods were what we'll have to call traditionally meat or chicken or fish scented can be all made into a vegan version, including something like that brisket.
Now,
the herbs and spices are key, by the way, in all of these recipes.
Oh, yes. And I'm reading in this one oregano, rosemary, chives, parsley. Yum, yum, yum. Paprika, that's important.
Right.
And Angel really loves that smoked paprika. Have you ever cooked with it?
Oh, yes. It makes all the difference. Yeah. We have like tins about this big, about 4 inches by 4 inches, and big tins. And they're all about 50 of them, and they're all filled with herbs and spices.
I mean,
I just like to scoop them out
and
pour them in. None of this pinch of this, pinch of that. Although I want to say in that roasted butternut squash recipe, they were minute amounts of spices, and I thought, this isn't enough, but I followed it, and it was perfect.
Oh, good.
It was enough.
Good.
Yes. Okay. So the thing about religious holidays, there are good things about religious holidays. So I like to focus on the good thing. And the Passover holiday, for example, is the Jews being freed from slavery. And we celebrate this freedom. And I like to expand on that and say not just that select group of people, but all humans and all life on earth. And
yes,
that's kind of what I like to celebrate during that holiday. Wow. And shouldn't we all?
Bless you, yeah.
And so I don't like to stick to the actual, I mean, the whole kosher for Passover wheat thing. I mean, you know, just let's focus on exploitation and freedom and make those foods represent that. So instead of making a brisket out of someone,
why?
Let's make it out of something that's nutritious and delicious and celebrate that instead.
Yeah. And if you do not want to celebrate with wheat on this holiday, which some have said they don't, you can use a portobello mushroom in
this
recipe. You can really use your own thing. But I really wanted to take my tradition because it was like a tradition. I remember my grandmother making it. And I wanted to use it in this chapter. However, it's probably better for a different Jewish holiday.
Oh, any time. Just make it and celebrate.
Exactly. Anytime.
Anytime. Yeah.
Vegan anytime.
Well,
that's
this is all
one.
About celebrating.
It is about celebrating every day.
Every day. Yeah. With good food.
Because, Karen, just like we talked about at the beginning of the program, is like we don't know what our time is here. And we really should enjoy it.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we lose sight of that. I lose sight of it, too. I need to keep reminding myself. I love to be around you to remind me and the people I love. And
you know, I don't like to think about having cancer, but I did. And I like to think it wasn't so terrible, actually. I mean, I had a horrible kind and a very low survival rate. And that's kind of intense to think about. But I only have good memories during that time.
Isn't that great?
Which is incredible.
Because
you
made it that way.
Maybe. But I was surrounded by love, like I said. And you told me love heals. And we forget. We forget.
Right.
And we get wrapped up. You know, we work a lot and it's hard and there are all these different things, you know, money and time and fatigue, and you forget. But we can't forget.
Can't forget.
Because
celebrate every day.
Celebrate every day.
And even though we're part of a really big network about what we're talking about today, you have to give that to yourself as well, what you just described.
You have to re-energize.
Whole, right, yep.
Yes. Okay. So let's move on in this delicious celebration book here.
You're going to go on to desserts and then.
Okay. What do you want to talk about, Bart? What's your favorite in here?
Well, I'm always a sucker for anything that, you know, uses, right? Joy just happened to turn to a page, avocado here right now.
The stuffed avocado from Cinco de Mayo that has the hemp seeds on it. It is so delicious. And, again, very simple.
Right.
See the picture? It's just, you know.
Stunning.
Stunning. Food porn.
I mean, that's it. That's the other thing about plant food. Hello, colors. It's not gray and dead and boring.
Right.
It's vibrant and alive.
And it's all available now. You know, whether you're going to local farmers markets or you're going to a Whole Foods or your local health food store, stuff's all available now.
Okay, red, white, and blue shortcake.
Come on. This is 4th of July. And 4th of July, I love barbecues. And I really love, like, the whole idea of it and the flavor profiles and the barbecue sauces and the grilled corns. And
yeah.
So really what we did is we made such a fun chapter. We did mojo de ajo seitan, which is a garlic seitan, grilled corn on the cob.
And grilled fruit. You have those peaches.
Right.
Where do you get good peaches from, by the way? You know?
In late summer, probably come from upstate, too, New York. So a lot of them.
It's hard to find good peaches these days. I remember peaches in the 70s when I went to college in Pennsylvania, and they were phenomenal, and I haven't been able to really find as
I'm going to find
peaches.
One for you this summer.
That'll be
I get very
show,
excited.
There is a dilution.
There
of,
is
some
yeah,
excitement.
Yep.
With the droughts in the West Coast and all that.
Right.
We've got to see that.
But, you know, meat eaters like to claim the barbecue and the barbecue holidays, and barbecuing vegetables is so much more fun. So much
so
more delicious.
Fun.
Delicious.
And there are so many things we can put on the Barbie.
Right.
So many more things.
Okay, we have our vegan hot dogs and burgers,
right.
But it's the corn, like you said, and
the pepper,
watermelon, peaches.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Look at this. There's a watermelon drink in the background here. And we did gazpacho shooters for this chapter.
That.
We did a bruschetta with white beans, tomatoes, and olives. It's just crazy exciting.
Can you stand all of this, talking about all this delicious food?
I love this. The 1776, that's the drink in the background. It has American whiskey in it. Then it has fresh lime juice, agave nectar, fresh watermelon juice, and cilantro.
Mm.
Yep.
Now, don't think that vegans don't know how to drink. Because we could probably drink you under the table.
That's another thing, right. As Joy would say, there's no sacrifice in eating this way. It's just pure pleasure.
Pure
really
pleasure.
Is.
And you locally source things from time to time. I noticed you had a Brooklyn gin in one of your drinks.
Oh, did we have fun. We took the whole staff to the Brooklyn gin mill. At 9 in the morning, we were drinking gin. It was really exciting. It's all organic. It's a small purveyor. Green gin smiths.
Yeah.
It was really exciting, and we put it in beverages. They also make a beech plum gin, which is made with beech plums that are also wildly grown.
Well, it's one of the things we don't talk about enough when we talk about food, and I talk about food on It's All About Food all the time, but alcohol and the companies that make our alcoholic beverages, it's something we need to know about because there's like a monopoly now going on. The major beer producers, they own them. There's just a handful of them. They own like all of them. And that's why we really need to support these local, small, artisanal
breweries. Which is what we do.
You
should really come see
and
our
distilleries.
Bar. Eco Bar. It's Candle Cafe West at right up here. And it's amazing with all the organic juices and chia seeds, chia frescas. And you can add alcohol to any drink.
Do you still have the happy hour at Candle West? You had an organic beer at happy hour.
Oh.
Yeah,
that was
amazing.
It's amazing.
there's usually a big variety of beers in all of the restaurants.
Yeah, very nice.
But it's so nice what you're saying is that you get to support local people really working hard to source organic, to use the best quality of what they're using. The Gin Smith is a good example. And then they were so kind to us, the way that they took us through a tour, showed us all the equipment and everything. It's very nice to be able to be in a community of supporting local people doing the right thing.
Community.
Yes.
Community.
Right. And sourcing it all. And, you know, it's such a kind of network. We all share information, even as we are here today, of course. But, you know, when we meet one farmer, somehow that one farmer becomes five farmers through the years. Because he or she will tell us about so-and-so. Oh, yeah, you try that guy. He's got a great tomato crop this year. We have someone who does only mushrooms like that. So there's like specialists within the growing community, too.
You know, this community is important because we don't just get delicious food and good quality food. But I think when we're more involved with the community, we can help those who don't have as well and take care of them a lot better. And I don't know if you heard this, but they're just – I just want to mention this because, I don't know, it bugs me. But a couple of weeks ago, there was the second International Conference on Nutrition in Rome. Did you hear about it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it was put on by the Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Health Organization. And it was their second in 22 years. The last one was 22 years ago. And the sad thing is, nothing's happened.
Oh, my word.
The second International Conference on Nutrition, and they're trying to eliminate hunger. And they had, like, how many countries? Over 100 some odd government organizations and all kinds of, you know, I think they just wanted to get together in Rome and have some good food. And I'm wondering what they served.
And organic wine.
And I'm wondering, you know, was the food that they served really even in line with what they're saying their mission is?
Well, that's really interesting, too, Karen. We've been to a lot of, like, socially responsible events where they have no idea that the food is one of the most socially responsible things you can do. You know, that is really responsible to eat a vegan, plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. And people don't really make that connection, especially some of these bigger organizations. I think it's really important that we keep speaking up and keep saying that this is the way to heal the world, heal ourselves.
And you've always been very generous to different organizations providing food for some events.
We do.
Yeah.
And we also we feed the homeless every Monday with All Souls Church.
What do you feed them?
There's a vegan, actually, at the church. Who wants,
there's a local church so there, Candle 79.
That, what do they get?
Whatever the leftovers are.
Mm-hmm.
They get great food, and actually it's even catching on in the homeless shelter, like more and more people wanting to eat our food.
Right.
And that makes me really, really, really happy. Any way that we could get good quality plant-based foods in everybody, because it had such a profound impact on my life that I feel like it's my responsibility to keep sharing it with people.
And
I love it.
And she really does.
All right, so you have these three restaurants, and you've got the food out, the frozen foods. Is there something else going on up your sleeves?
Something cooking.
Something cooking.
Every night at the Candles, we got something
cooking. We win,
and we're only as good as our last meal, so keep telling us how we do.
Let me know how many radio slots are available. Yeah. You want to go, good morning, vegans.
And he wants to do a show with you.
Oh, there we go. We should have an all-vegan station, right?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, he loves that.
So many categories within of what we're talking about today. I mean, we covered a lot.
And Karen, I got to acknowledge you because really this is so important to get this message out to people, and you do it with such love and such respect.
Well, you know, I started this show listing three things that I'm grateful for, and I just want to repeat that when you're looking at the light instead of looking at the dark, and I know New Yorkers have a way of complaining. There was even an article in the New York Times about how good it is that we complain and we're not unhappy. But because happiness and complaining aren't the same.
Right.
I don't know about that. But I think it's better to be focusing on everything that's good rather than complaining personally. It makes me feel better.
Me too.
And that's the point.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
And everybody coming into your restaurant has to feel good.
Yeah. We collect comment cards. We literally have shopping bags full of them. And some of the things that people say are quite extraordinary. You know, I had a headache all day, but I came into your place, the headache was gone. One guy said recently, I want your food served at my funeral. And these are cards. There's a radio show around those cards, believe me.
That's good. That's very good.
And happily, we're on a lot of websites, too. You know, we get a lot of people coming in from literally all over the world. it's a pleasure being in New York City. We do have that dynamic.
Yes.
I happen to be looking at cards this morning, United Kingdom, Ireland. You know, we get all of that going on.
Oh, well, I'm sure there are people that travel to go to your restaurant.
Yeah, we're the go-to
place.
Yeah. Others, too. Not the only ones, but mostly us.
One of the last things I wanted to mention, I don't know if you read about this one. Here in New York, fast food companies have to list the calories and a little bit of nutrition on their menus, and now that's going federal, which is kind of an interesting thing. And fortunately, you won't have to do that. I mean, you have three restaurants, but it's not considered a chain,
right? No, the fast food chains are doing it mostly. I have to do it,
And I'm just really fascinated by this. I don't know if it's a – I suppose if you're eating at fast food, it's a good thing. But my personal experience, I ate at Le Pain Quotidien, which is a chain, I guess, because they list the calories. For me, it kind
of
threw me for a loop because I don't think about calories ever.
Right. We don't either.
Just eat what I want.
Right.
And then I was thrown because I had these different items and they all had different calories, like 400, 600. And I started thinking, maybe I want to get more calories for my dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking calories per dollar.
That is fabulous.
Because I knew they weren't going to be empty calories, which is different than when you're in a fast food place.
It's a whole other calorie consciousness.
Right, but maybe we should be – it's all screwed up,
Karen.
But maybe we should have nutrition per dollar listed on a label.
It's like the Andy scores, right?
At
Whole Foods Market, it's sort of nutrient density as opposed to
– but there is no ideal score just yet. And that's part of the problem.
We get asked the calorie question fairly often, but the main thing we try to do is represent that this vegan, organic food keeps your body in great shape.
You don't have to think about
the quality of the calorie. It's the quality of the calorie. Used to say that it goes to all the right places, and it's a good quality calorie.
There you go.
And it's good for the tummy, too.
Okay.
Most health begins.
Well, I want to eat what you've brought me.
I have more in the bag, too. I have a black bean soup.
Oh, my goodness.
And a cauliflower potato soup with truffle oil.
Okay, who's jealous? Raise your hand. I am the
lucky one. Come on over or dig in.
Or get this book. Okay, one more time. Vegan Holiday Cooking. I wish I could show it to you, but if you go to Amazon.com or if you go to CandleCafe.com, you can see...
All three restaurants have it.
All three restaurants have it. You have to go in and eat at the restaurants and make this food on your own. It's just such a stunning, wonderful celebration. Yee-haw!
Yay.
Okay, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food, everybody. And remember, have a very delicious week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, romancing the vet.